Good morning. My family and I are so blessed that we are spending Sunday with you, fellowshipping with you, and worshiping God. And I would like to thank the leadership as well and Mark for having us over. When John told you about my kids, and you can tell how good a person is or a man is when you know you observe their kids, I was praying, God, please keep my kids quiet, because he and I was given this word. Oh, my goodness. I believe that you have studied worship for 3 months, and you have looked at it from different angles, how it benefits you, how it is a very important aspect of a Christian life, and how that it is one of the ways of communicating to God through songs, through fellowshipping, through everything that we're doing in our worship. And there's probably one or two here that's praying, please don't talk about worship today. We're not going to talk about worship. What we're going to talk this morning is about this question that I think is beneficial to us. Is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough even though I'm struggling? Is Jesus enough even though I'm poor? Is Jesus enough even though I'm hurting right now? Is Jesus enough even though I'm in a bad spot of my life? The question is more of a reflection to us. Is Jesus enough for me? And I think that's a good question, because there are people that believes that Jesus is not enough. That is Jesus plus something. And only then can you be called a great or good Christian or a perfect Christian. But I think the Bible teaches us something about Jesus being enough. And I would like us to pray before we proceed. Heavenly Father, we know so little about you, and there are many questions in our head about what we're going through, and questions that only you can answer. And one of those questions is Jesus enough? And I pray, God, that as we ponder on this question, as we reflect on that, that you will reveal yourself to us, and that you will remind us that we need your Son. We need him only. Please, God, bless our time. We pray this in his name, Jesus. Amen. There is a common trait among us that's undeniable, and it's the longing to have more, the craving to have more. And this is evident in our phrases that goes like this: I want the latest iPhone, I want the latest Samsung Galaxy, I want the latest fad, the latest fashion, I want the latest pickup truck, I want the latest so on and so forth. And you can relate to this, because you say this almost all the time. And I say that as well. I want to have more money in my wallet. I want to have more clothes. I want to have new shoes. We always long for something. There is that craving, that longing inside of us that seeks to be filled, that seeks to be full. But it's not always full, and so we try to seek in different places. The Bible tells us something about this as well. In the Old Testament, before there was kings in Israel, there was only God as their king. But in 1 Samuel chapter 8, they were not fulfilled by having God as their king. They wanted something just like their neighboring nations. And so they pleaded to Samuel, "Samuel, we need a king like our nations, like our neighboring nations. They have great kings, they have good kings, handsome kings, and we would like to have kings as well." They were not satisfied that God was their present, active, living king. They wanted more. They wanted more. God was not enough to them, so they wanted more. In John chapter 6, people that followed Jesus, 5,000 plus, they got to experience the power of Jesus by Jesus multiplying a couple of pieces of bread and fish. And so they continued to follow Jesus. But then Jesus had to leave them because he needed to pray to his Father. And then when they realized that Jesus was not there, they got on the boat as well, crossed the lake, and got to the other side of the lake. And when they found Jesus there, they said, how long have you been here, Jesus? So let's open our Bible to find out what Jesus told them, because I think it's very beneficial for us to hear it from Jesus himself, because it's very direct. John chapter 6, verse 26, and this is what Jesus responded to them. Jesus answered, John chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs. You seek me because you ate the bread. You seek me not because of me, but because of the things that I did. Because of the bread, because of the manna. You seek me because you wanted more of the things that I can provide. You didn't want more of me. You wanted more of what I can do." Another example is Philip, again in the Gospel of John. He said, "Lord, Rabbi, Master, can you show us the Father so that it will be enough for us?" Because Jesus told them that he will go to his Father and he will come back for them. And so Philip said, "Master, Lord, Rabbi, can you show us the Father so that it will be enough for us to believe that you really are Jesus, the Son of God, and you will come back and do all of this stuff for us?" And Jesus told them something that is also needing to be heard today. That he is not enough. Jesus is not enough to Philip. That's why he asked that question. So these are examples that we can see in the Bible that is also present today. That sometimes Jesus is not enough. And I'm not saying that it's bad to long for something, to long to have a new car or to have a better house or to have more money in your wallet. I'm not saying that it's bad. What I'm saying is that that's common among us, both in the Old Testament characters, New Testament characters, and also present today. But what the Bible tells us is that Jesus is enough. We have seen this in the book of Colossians, in our Bible class, that Jesus is more than enough. So it is very, very possible that we are only loving the things of God, the things that God provides, and not really God himself. I'll say that again. It's possible that we are loving only the things of God, the things that he provides, and not God himself. And why would that be important? That's important because, as you have seen from the book of Job, which John preached about last Sunday, which I'll also cover here in a few seconds, that Job is a righteous man. He is blameless. He lived a prosperous life. He had everything. He had a great family. He had a good business. He had everything that you would long for, that I long for. A good house, secure bank account. You just wake up one morning with, you know, every day probably with a cup of coffee in your right hand and Max Lucado on your left hand, and you just enjoy the blessings of God. And that's what he was enjoying every day for his life. But then everything changed just one instant, just that one specific day. For one reason, Satan went to God and accused Job. He accused Job. That's the story behind all the troubles that happened in Job's life. Satan went to God and accused Job. Satan said, "God, Job is only worshiping you because of the things that you are giving to him. Why don't you strip him all of these things that he's enjoying right now, and you will find out who really he is. That he is not a true worshiper of you. He's a fake worshiper." Satan accused him. And so Satan went down and destroyed Job's life. And as Job was enjoying his coffee on his right hand and masticating his book on his left, a messenger ran to Job and said, "Job, I was in the field and these Sabaeans came and raided your oxen and your donkeys, and they took all of them. And even before that messenger could finish his report, another messenger came and said, Job, I was in the field and I was tending to your sheep, and then the fire of God came and burned all of your sheep. Probably Job in his head was, okay, that can easily be replaced. Oxen, donkey, sheep, fine, I can do that. I have the skills to reproduce. And then another, even before that messenger could finish, the second messenger could finish his sentence, another messenger came, and nothing could prepare Job for this. Nothing could prepare Job for this. The messenger said, Job, I was with your sons and your daughters, and they were enjoying the fellowship as a good family. They were singing, they were enjoying the food and the coffee probably, and the tea, and sweet tea probably. And then the house collapsed on them, and all of them died. Imagine being on Job's shoes that day. One messenger after another reporting bad news. His world collapsed. And his wife also tried to sell him in stopping to worship God. Why don't you curse God and die, Job? Why don't you? How could Job keep worshiping God despite of those big losses in his life? He lost his oxen, his donkeys, he lost everything. He also lost his kids. How could he continue to worship God? Either Job was one, he's not right in his mind, or secondly, he knows something about God. That's why he continued to worship God. And I believe it's the second thing. He believed, I think, that God is enough. Here is a quote from Matt Chandler, and he wrote a book about the explicit gospel, and it's a good book, and I recommend it to you to read that book as well. But he said this: the message of the scripture and of the gospel is not that in following God, everything will be all right, will be fine. Because we have seen this in the Bible, not everything or not everybody that followed God had a perfect life. They had some troubles in their life. But, Matt Chandler continued, but that in following God, God will be enough. That's what he said. It's not that the message of the scripture and of the gospel of Christ is not that in following God, everything will be all right, but that God is enough. That's what he said. God is enough. And so you question probably, some of you probably have experienced similar to what Job has experienced. And you probably question why you have that kind of struggles. And some continued to worship God, and some chose to leave God. But I think those that continued to worship God are similar to what Job found out, that God is enough. In this world today, we are offered the Christian world as well as the literal world. We are all offered two kinds of extremes. One is the poverty gospel, and the second is prosperity gospel. The poverty gospel says you are not good Christian, you're not a good follower of Christ because you're not poor enough. You got to be poor. You got to sell your car, you got to sell your house and give all of that income, or get all of that gain to the ministries, to the church. The prosperity gospel says the other extreme. It says you are not a good Christian because you are not rich. You got to have more faith so God can bless you and God can make you rich. Only those that can be called good Christians are the rich ones. If you're not rich, then you're not a good Christian. These two are extreme presentations of the gospel, and both are equally misleading in that it offers us or it suggests us that you got to have more than Jesus. You got to have either more of poverty or richness, wealth. Jesus is not enough for them. In John chapter 21, when Jesus was resurrected, and let's open our Bible there. John chapter 21. When Jesus was resurrected and his disciples scattered because they feared that the Roman soldiers will go after them and capture them and put them in prisons, these disciples went back to their old lifestyle, which was fishing. But then that day showed up to Jesus showed up to some of his disciples, and he showed up specifically to Peter. John, Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 15. He asked this to Peter. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, this is after Jesus sat on the beach and grilled the fish, and they were fishing, and he said, throw the net on the side of the boat, and they throw their net on the side of the boat. They pulled it, and there was a big catch of fish, and it made them remember that's what Jesus did early in their ministry, and they were like, oh, yeah, Jesus did that, and this is Jesus. And so they went back to the beach, Peter, before the other guys went to the beach, jumped on the boat as if it was too far, but it was just really very near, and he jumped and swam, and it was just really near. But then Jesus asked this question, Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, or Bar-Jonah, do you love me more than this? And Peter said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him again, feed my lambs. Jesus said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, you know that you are in trouble when your first name, middle name, your nickname is brought forth. Do you love me? And Peter said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Jesus said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to Jesus, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. So Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. This is very intriguing because we know that Jesus is a smart person. We know that Peter is also a smart person. But why would Jesus ask Peter three times this question, do you love me? And I think there are two possible answers to this. Probably first, because Jesus wanted to reiterate that you have denied me, Peter, three times. Remember, you denied me three times. So I'm going to ask you three times as well. I'm gonna put that in your head. Or probably because Jesus wanted us to look deeper into our hearts. Probably Jesus wanted for Peter to reflect deep in his heart if he really loves Jesus. Do you love me, Peter? Jesus can ask you the same question today. Do you love me, Jeffer? Do you love me more than this? And that phrase, more than this, is important to our sermon today because Jesus, could be referring to two things. He could be referring to two things. If he said more than this and he was referring to the boat, then the question would be, what do you love the most? Not who, but what do you love the most? Then Jesus could be contrasting if Peter loved the boat, his old lifestyle, his net and his boat more than Jesus. So the question would be, Peter, do you love me more than your boat and your net? And sometimes we need to have this reflection in our lives. Do we love Jesus more than our house, our boat, our cars, our bank account, our fame, our name? Do we love him more? Now, if the question is about a person, then it would go like this. Who do you love the most? Do you love me more than them, the other disciples, John and James? Not what, but who. And there could be instances in our lives where there are people that we love more than Jesus. And sometimes that can be tricky because we are told to love our wives as our number one. But the Bible tells us to love God as our number one. And sometimes there are people that are very, very good at following celebrities, that they love their celebrities more than their wives, and thus their that Jesus is on the third level already. And I think it's important for us to remind ourselves that really, Jesus is all that we need in our lives. Jesus is all we need. Didn't he say it in Matthew chapter 6? Seek all these things. Is that what he said? No, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things. He didn't say seek these things first. He said seek the kingdom of God. And all these things will be given to you. Meaning that if we love Jesus more, if Jesus is enough, then everything will just fall into place. Everything will just fall into place because that's what God loves to do. God loves to bless His children. But I hope that we don't love God because of what He's doing for us. I hope we love God because He is God and that He is enough. And then everything will be just an icing on a cake. That's what the Bible is telling us. Love Jesus first and everything will just fall into place. So that no matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens in your life, you will be like Job, who can choose to worship God despite of the struggles, because you know that Jesus is enough. That God is enough. That God is enough in our lives. Somebody has said, if you lost everything, but you have Jesus, then you have everything. If you lost everything, but you have Jesus, then you have everything. That is a theology of Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Now I know why Paul wrote Philippians 3 and he said that I have considered everything that I have gained, the money, the name, all of that, I have considered them as rubbish for the sake of Christ. Because for Paul, Jesus is enough. Now I know why Job can continue to worship God despite of his losses and despite of his wife telling him to curse God and die. Because for Job, Jesus is enough. Now I know why the apostles and the disciples could die for Christ, because they know that Jesus is enough. Now I know why Peter, even after betraying his Lord and his best friend for 3 consecutive times, he continued to serve God, because for Peter, Jesus is enough. Brothers and sisters, I am a poor person. And my mom told me that you gotta have a better education. And you can't go to the ministry because ministry don't have money. Preachers don't earn a lot. So if you have daughters here that are trying to marry a preacher's kid or trying to marry a somebody that's wanting to do a seminary, you probably will start discouraging them now because ministry does not have money. And I did respect my parents' suggestion of doing computer science, so I did that for 3 years, but my heart was not into it. And so after 3 years of computer science, I quit, and I went to Cebu Bible College. And then I met my wife through her parents. And then 5 years of living in the Philippines and starting Hope for Tomorrow, God came into another surprise through Harding. I was given the opportunity to study at Harding, full ride scholarship. And so now that's why we're here. But here's what I can tell you about God in my life. That despite of my circumstances, He continued to remind me that He is enough. I didn't long for a name. I didn't long for wealth. But He seemed to give them to me. And I think it's because I continued to be reminded by God that He is enough. And everything just came to place. Everything just filled up, just worked. It's almost like Nicole said, it's almost like a puzzle. God is bringing this puzzle pieces together and giving us a great picture of how God is working. And I am so pleased that God is like that. That I have my inconsistencies, I have my flaws, that I'm not a rich person. But even though I am like that, he continues to remind me, Jeffrey, I am enough. I am enough. I am enough. Have faith in me. I am enough. And that's the reminder for us this week, that whatever you face, Jesus will be enough. Wherever you are in your life, Jesus will be enough. And I hope that if Satan accuses you like Job and tries to trouble you with whatever that's so heavy, that you can continue to worship God because He is enough. I believe in this room we have somebody here who's missing something in their lives. That longing, that you know, you're craving for something. No things here in this world, nothing can fill that up. Only God can. And He is inviting you for that feast, for that fellowship, for that relationship. So if you would like to approach me or Mark or the elders later, that will be great. That will give you a good understanding of how Jesus blesses His people, those that find Him as being enough.